This is the Australia Report with CEO of the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies, Vic Aladef. Good day, mate.
Vic Aladef, a very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. I'm very good to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you. So last week when we spoke, we just had breaking news around Moriah College and another school in Sydney closing down for a short while because of a COVID-19 positive case. What is the current situation with schools in Sydney?
The current situation is what Moriah College did was respond very quickly and absolutely did the right thing. The 50 or so students, and they were 10-year-old kids approximately, who were colleagues, classmates of the child who had been tested, were all sent home, the families all to be tested, etc. And the school reopened fully Monday, yesterday, and so things are back to normal. So the system worked, everyone sent home to be tested, etc. And the other big issue is, as of yesterday, June 1, the government in the state has announced, initially they just announced that clubs, pubs and restaurants could go from accepting 10 people to 50, but places of worship could still only have 10. So we, together with our friends in the Catholic world.
I love it. Because, and the Muslim, yeah, sorry, carry on.
Well, yes, this is Australia. So, you know, we've got to get back to our clubs, pubs and restaurants before we go back to praying.
But what I find amazing about it is we, everywhere in the world, everybody's spending so much time pointing out how irrational the government is. And of course there's irrational decisions, but they're all just trying. You know, they were saying in California, you can go into the sea, but not onto the beach. In New York, you can go on the beach, but not into the sea. In Israel, they had something similar at one point. Here, you can't run in a group, but you know, you can work with people. It's just all so confusing, but it's just all it does is reflect on how governments are just trying to get it right and they're just not there yet.
Well, exactly. And in defense of government, capital G, I guess, is that it's unprecedented.
Exactly.
It's a learning curve for everyone. And governments are, you know, doing somersaults to try and get it right.
Yeah.
While obviously mindful of not killing the economy in any given place, because we don't want to, all small business to close down, et cetera. So trying to find the balance. So on this issue, as I say, clubs, pubs and restaurants could go back to 50. Places of worship were only 10. So we, as in the Jewish community, together with our friends in the Catholic world, the Muslim world, etc., politely said to the government, you know, hey guys, if you can go and get a drink and you can pass glasses around, sitting in shul is infinitely less likely to spread infection.
Right, but if you actually bring that whiskey to shul, then I think you could get away with it.
Well, and so to the government's credit, they quickly increased the numbers in shuls as well. So as of yesterday, clubs, pubs and restaurants and places of worship have now gone from 10 people to 50 people allowed, 50 at services, 50 at funerals and only 20 at weddings. And the logic there is that at weddings, at the wedding, you dance, your arms around each
right.
other. There's a lot more interaction going on than you might have in services
that.
And funerals.
I hear that. And speaking of officiating, Sydney's first Orthodox female rabbi. Tell us about this.
So this is a lovely story. And in fact, I have to tell you, former South African. So
wow.
Her name is Judith Levitan. Excuse me, immigrated here many years ago, 1980, with her parents, Brian and Beryl Levitan. Brian initially came from Port Elizabeth, Beryl from Pretoria, immigrated, and then they moved to Johannesburg where their daughter Judith was born. Immigrated here in 1980, and Judith, she's a lawyer by profession, but not just a frum lawyer, but a very learned individual. And in fact, I often work with Judith. If I get her a call from a radio tomorrow to discuss the spiritual meaning of Rosh Hashanah, whatever, I will call on Judith to do that and to present because she does it beautifully. Just a few days ago, she became the first Orthodox female rabbi ever here in Sydney. And she received her rabbinic ordination And she is an active member of a group called the Sydney Women's Tefillah Group. She teaches Bat Mitzvah. She's also a founding member of Jewish Alliance Against Domestic Violence. She's a very impressive individual. And she earned her smicha after a three-year course at a college, at a seminary in New York. So it's a lovely story.
Incredible.
Her parents are very involved in the community as well. And I told her, obviously, I'd be talking about it today, and she asked me to mention, if I may, that she has started a Facebook page with the name Rabbanit Yehudit, in case anybody would like to contact her.
That I definitely do want to contact her, because I'm fascinated as to some of the nuances around it and how the community has accepted accepted her. It's because obviously we know that the Orthodox community in particular is quite resistant to change and to this type of thing. So I would be absolutely fascinated to chat to her, especially as she has a South African link, and it'd be interesting to hear how she has navigated and how she intends navigating some of the complex issues that she might face in the community.
That would be a fascinating discussion, I have no doubt. So Rabbanit Yehudit is her Facebook name. And also, I have her email address as well.
Right, which I'll get from you after. Right, which I will get from you after the show. All right, to tell us about Malka Leifer. Finally, D-Day for her. Is she coming back to Australia soon?
Well, it's too soon to question mark at the end of all of that.
Okay.
So in other words, as listeners would be well aware, so in the middle of last week, an Israeli court finally, came to the decision, the Jerusalem District Court, that she is mentally fit to stand trial. And this, to remind listeners, is to stand trial on 74 counts of rape and sexual assault. And this is after over 60 hearings in Israel, which is in itself a bit of a disgrace. And she was charged in 2008. Sorry, she fled Australia in 2008, was charged in 2014, which is when Australia requested extradition, and it has taken all this time, 6 years until now, to get to this point. So not only the Jewish community has welcomed this finding, but even the Australian Prime Minister has been in the media saying, we welcome this finding, it's about time. So where we are now is that her next court appearance is July 20. So, you know, that's just over a month away. And she's going to appeal against the extradition. And even if the court throws out her appeal, there will be other legal hurdles to overcome as well. So it's too soon to think that, you know, she's about to hop onto a plane. That's not going to happen yet. And all of the above is then subject, obviously, to the international travel restrictions which are in place at the moment. So it is a major step forward in terms of the court finding that she is mentally fit to stand trial. But there are legal hurdles to overcome, and that's before we talk about international travel issue.
Right. So there's a long way to go, but hopefully it is. At least it's moving in the right direction.
It is indeed. It is moving in the right direction.
Tell us about Australia's two new billionaires.
So just very quickly, yes. And interestingly, in the current climate and, you know, economy taking hits everywhere you look, etc., but notwithstanding all of that, and I'm not a business person, but the market has surged in many fields. And there are two young men. One's name is Anthony Eisen and Nick Molnar. Nick Molnar is all of 28 years old. And the two of them have become Australia's newest, and Nick Molnar youngest, billionaires. The two of them started, and Nick Molnar went to a Jewish school. As a young man, he's now 28 years old, and they started a company called Afterpay, which is what it sounds like. It's where you buy now and pay later. Now, listeners might think, well, isn't that what credit cards are all about? And this is where basically the discussion gets beyond my pay grade. I couldn't tell you the difference between a credit card and Afterpay, but what I can say is that just a couple of days ago, a Chinese company invested $300 million into Afterpay. $300 million, no less. And so Nick Mulner, Anthony Eisen, they've become this country's, Australia's youngest billionaires, newest billionaires, and Nick Mulner, the youngest billionaire at the age of 28. So it's an amazing story of two young guys doing exceptionally well in business. And it warranted them a front page story in the weekend's newspaper, I have to say.
Absolutely incredible. Wow, Zanati. Do we know if they're married, Zanati? I'm just saying, Zanati. Could be interesting. Uh-huh. Maybe a trip to Australia's on the cards. As soon as they open up these borders. All right, Vic. So we've got two things we need to follow up with you after the show. Actually make it three. Two billionaires and a rabbinet or a rabbi. All right, Vic Aladef, CEO of the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies. We speak to Vic every Tuesday. Thanks, Vic. We'll catch up with you shortly. Thank you.